Our text from God's Word for this afternoon sermon is from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 56. This is in connection with Lord's Day 14 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which speaks of the incarnation and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We read of how the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was foretold to the Virgin Mary. Luke 1, verse 26, and we'll read down to verse 56, which is Mary's song of praise to the Lord. Luke 1, verse 26, the Holy Spirit has inspired God's word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. We'll also read the Heidelberg Catechism as it summarizes Scripture's teachings on the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in Lord's Day 14. Lord's Day 14, if you have a book of praise, it's on page 528 in the back. And it asks, "What do you confess when you say he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary?" The eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took upon himself true human nature from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary through the working of the Holy Spirit. Thus he is also the true seed of David and like his brothers in every respect, yet without sin. What benefit do you receive from the holy conception and birth of Christ? He is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness covers, in the sight of God, my sin, in which I was conceived and born. And after we have heard God's word proclaimed, we will sing hymn 17. It's the song of Mary that we read in Luke chapter 1 as it's put to music. And so we'll sing hymn 17, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4, after God's word is proclaimed. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what do you imagine it would be like to meet an angel? Boys and girls, if an angel came to you in your room, like Gabriel came to Mary, would you be excited or would you be scared? I think I would be scared. The angels in the Bible seem pretty fierce and terrifying. And so most people, when they see an angel, they fall down on their faces in terror. Gideon does that. Manoah says to his wife, "We are doomed to die. We have seen God." Zechariah, earlier in Luke chapter 1, when he sees Gabriel, the same angel that visited Mary, he is startled and gripped with fear. But what about Mary? Was she scared when the angel came? Sort of, but not really. Mary wasn't necessarily terrified about the angel, but mostly about the greetings and the words the angel was saying. Mary, it seems, is strong mentally and spiritually. That's probably why the Lord chose her to be the mother of the Lord. And we see her faith as she immediately believes the words of the angel. Most people who are promised miraculous things by an angel refuse to believe at first. Sarai laughed in disbelief when told she would bear a son at 89 years old. Zechariah had to ask for a sign from the Lord to prove it, and he was punished with muteness for his unbelief. But Mary accepts the word of the angel immediately and simply asks a question: how will this happen? Her faith is strong. Mary is troubled, but she's troubled, says our text in verse 29, because of the angel's greeting. How does the angel greet her? "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And this tells Mary that she is favored and the Lord is with her. It tells her that the Lord loves her, that the Lord is taking care of her and looking after her. Boys and girls, if you heard an angel say that to you, that the Lord has specially chosen you and loves you, that the Lord is with you and looking after you, how would you feel? That would be pretty wonderful to hear, wouldn't it? But you see, if an angel comes and talks to you in that way, you can be pretty sure that God is going to give you a special task. And if God gives you a special task, you can also be pretty sure that it's going to be a hard and a difficult task. And so that's why Mary is troubled. And she's right. The child that Mary is going to bear is going to be a very special child, Jesus. But the task of being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a difficult one. But today we learn that because of this special child of Mary, that we are the same as Mary. And you too, boys and girls. Because of Jesus, God has chosen us and loves us and carefully looks after us. And so let's see that through Jesus Christ, we too are favored ones. The Lord is with us. And we will see that this is true because Jesus is the Son of Mary, the Son of the Most High, and the Son of Joseph and David. So firstly, we'll see the importance of Jesus being the Son of Mary. So the angel has come to Mary and has given her this greeting, and Mary is troubled. And then basically, like every other angel in Scripture, the angel opens with these words, "Do not be afraid," verse 30. He repeats the message of his greeting as well. "You have found favor with God." And then he explains why. She has found favor with God because she will conceive and bear a son. Her child will, as far as verse 31 goes at least, be an ordinary human child. He says, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Like every other child, Jesus would be born from the womb of his mother, and he would have the name Jesus. And all these are ordinary words. These are the ordinary words for child, the ordinary word for womb and son, and even Jesus as a name, it's special to us, but in Mary's day, Jesus was a fairly ordinary name for a boy. And so, Jesus is going to be, in one sense, a human child, an ordinary human child. And this is important, as we learn back in the Catechism in Lord's Day 5. We need a Savior who is human to save us, human beings, from our human sins. But the fact that Mary's child is going to be an ordinary human child in his human nature gives a special meaning to the words of the angel's greeting. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. This is an allusion to Isaiah 7 verse 14, which reads, the virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we know that this is an allusion to Isaiah because of how strongly the word virgin is emphasized in our text. Notice that when Mary is introduced by Luke in verse 27, he doesn't start by introducing her name or her family or anything like that. No, he starts by saying that she is a virgin. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And again, virgin is repeated next, and the virgin's name was Mary. So the most important thing is not her name, Mary, but that she's a virgin. That's the stress of our text. Mary will have a child. He will be her human child, but he will not be an ordinary child. He will be God with us. Now, in a sense, God has been with us and with his people always, ever since creation in various ways. In the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. God appeared to Abraham in the form of a man, in the tent of meeting in the wilderness, and in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle and temple, God dwelt among his people. The cloud of God's glory and presence rested there. So God has, in one way or another, always been with us. But in this case, God is going to be with us in a special way that has never happened before. Mary's child would be God with us, but he would also be a human boy, a human man. God is coming to us as one of us. He became a creature. He became a weak, dependent child, subject to our degrading life, to having bodily functions, to throwing up from sicknesses, to suffering loneliness, to suffering the sin and stubbornness of other people. He became subject to temptations and all the indignities of a human life. God had all these things. And so this teaches us how much God is with us. And the scripture also emphasizes the comfort that we have from knowing that God is one of us. Our high and mighty God knows what it is like to be human, knows what it is like to suffer, understands what it is like to be tempted because he has been tempted as we are. And so when we are struggling, when we are sick, when we are being tempted, we can pray to God and know that he understands and he sympathizes with us. And so the fact that God became a real man comforts us in our struggles. When you're coughing your lungs up, when you're throwing up, when you're hurting from any number of human problems, pray to God. He will surely help. Because he knows what you are going through. Because in Christ, God has gone through the same sufferings. And he will surely help. And that brings us to our second point. The comfort from the fact that Jesus is the Son of the Most High. So as the angel has been speaking to Mary, and up to verse 31, she assumes at this point, I am sure, that she's having an ordinary human child. It's not that unusual for an angel to be sent to announce the birth of a human child if that child is going to be a very special child. Isaac, Samson, John the Baptist, these are all children that angels announced beforehand, because they, or their birth, was a very special occasion. But Mary is told more than anyone else that she is a favored one who the Lord is with. And this is not just because her child is human, but because her child is more than human. Her child will be God, too. This Gabriel teaches with the words of verse 32. Her son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And each of these comments on their own, you could interpret them to say that they are comments about a very special human child. But when we take them all together, we realize that this child is much more than just human. Verse 32 starts by saying that her child will be great. And throughout the Old Testament, when the word great is used of someone on its own, it's most often talking about God. Human beings are called great kings or great prophets or great among men. It is God who is mostly called just great, because God's greatness has no comparison. He's not great among the gods because there are no other gods. No one can compare with him. But you can very occasionally find times when human beings are called just great, like Moses is when God is speaking to him. And so, we go on. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And Most High is obviously a reference to God. Again, God is greater than anyone else. He is the highest of all. And so Son of the Most High is often used for Jesus as the Son of God, the divine second person of the Trinity. But again, very occasionally, Sons of the Most High is used of people too. Jesus calls his disciples sons of the Most High in Luke 6. He will reign, says verse 32, on the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And again, this is a similar promise to the one that God gave to a human being, to King David. David was promised in 2 Samuel 7 that his descendants would reign on his throne forever, that he will never lack a son on the throne. And we sang of this earlier in Psalm 89. But notice that in David's case, his kingdom would never end because he would have a succession of his sons on the throne. When David would die, his son would become king, and when his son died, his son would become king, and so on. But of the son of Mary, it says in verse 33, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So now we start to understand that this son of Mary is no ordinary child. It cannot be true of any human being that he reigns on the throne forever. And so taking all of these descriptions of Mary's son Jesus together, we know that he'll be more than just any ordinary human son. He will even be more than just any descendant of David, any human king. He will be God himself, coming down to earth as a human being, as a descendant of David, reigning on David's throne in Jerusalem forever. And thus Mary truly is highly favored by God. The word for favor that the angel uses in verse 28 and later in verse 30 again of Mary, this word is usually translated in the New Testament as grace. Favor or grace speaks of God looking on us with love and with compassion, even though we don't deserve it, though we are sinners. Grace can be described as undeserved favor of God.
And so Mary, who was herself a sinner, is going to bear the divine Son of God in her womb. And so God is pouring out His grace, His favor on her. And we read, and we'll sing shortly, of Mary's joy and her awe that this is happening to her. In her song, in verse 46 and following, she speaks of her humility, how she is just a humble child of God, and yet she is being given this great favor from God. God is doing great things for her. And Mary, indeed, is fairly humble when it comes to her day and age. She's a poor country girl, probably still in her teens, in a time when the young and women and those from the country were not highly respected or thought of at all. And we might usually think of ourselves as more highly than that. Not many of us have the humility to describe ourselves as quite so humble as Mary does in her song. But the truth is that because of our sins against God, we are certainly undeserving of any favor from God. We are as low as Mary and any other human being who ever lived. But because of Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, who was both human and God at the same time, God's undeserved favor has come to us. Because Jesus came to take upon Himself our sin and make us right with God. And so each of us is specially chosen and loved by God. In Christ, we can all hear those words spoken to Mary. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. We do not deserve to be God's children. We do not deserve to have the Lord Himself with us because the Lord is a holy God and we are sinners. But because Christ's blood washes away our sins, we are favored, we are loved by God, and He is happy to be among us. Mary probably doesn't grasp all of this at the time. But she does grasp one thing, and that's a problem. She says to the angel in verse 34, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel explains it will come about because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person through whom God sustains all life. We sung about that earlier in Psalm 104. The Lord gives life and breath to everything. And the psalm speaks of how this is done by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who gives life to everyone. And so the Spirit gives life to all children in their mother's womb. And so the Spirit will create this life in Mary's womb. But this will be different than any other child, for this time there will be no human father involved at all. The angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," verse 35, "and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And many curious people have wondered how exactly the Holy Spirit fathered a physical child. But the angel's explanation deliberately maintains the mystery of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. All we know is that the same person of the Trinity who gave life to Adam and gives life to every human being will give life to the child in Mary's womb. And, says our catechism, adding to what we learn from Luke chapter 1, this child of Mary will be like his brothers in every respect, yet without sin. But we get a hint of that from the end of verse 35, as the angel tells her, "The child to be born will be holy, the Son of God." Mary's child, Jesus, will be the only child ever lived who will be without sin. And this is not, as some have taught, because it is human fathers who pass sin down through the generations. Because both men and women, Mary included, are sinful. Jesus, though, will be different. The Holy Spirit, by His divine power and His holiness, will somehow prevent the sin of Mary from passing down to Jesus, so that He will be able to be born perfect. And this, we also learn from God's word, is essential for us to be saved, because it takes someone who is perfect, who is himself holy, to be acceptable sacrifice to God so that he can cover all of our sins. And so thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit, making sure that the child born from Mary was holy, we are made holy through Jesus Christ. As we heard also this morning, when Jesus' blood cleanses us from our sins, we are made completely holy, without sin, without spot or stain or wrinkle. Again, not something that we have done, God's undeserved favor, but through Christ, we are holy before God. And that takes us to our third point, the comfort from the fact that our Lord Jesus is the son of Joseph and David. Jesus' link to David through Joseph is stressed in verse 27. Mary is a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Joseph is a descendant of David who legally holds the title to the throne of king in Israel. And so when Joseph adopts Jesus as his own son, when he marries Mary, Jesus will receive that royal title, the heir to David's throne. And he will reign, says verse 33, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And this eternal nature of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is a great comfort to us. Because Jesus might be a descendant of the throne of David, but he is a much greater king than David ever was. David was a sinner, just like we are. But as far as sinful people go, David was a pretty great king. Yes, he did commit sins, some of them pretty terrible. But he also truly loved the Lord and desired to serve the Lord and fear him his whole life. And David, as a great king, also led Israel to fear the Lord. And so the Lord blessed David, and through David the Lord blessed the kingdom of Israel, so that there was peace and prosperity in Israel, a peace that lasted all the way through the reign of Solomon, David's son. And because of David's faithfulness, the Lord gave that promise to David that he would always have a son on the throne of Israel. And he promised to extend the peace and prosperity of Israel throughout the world and through David's children. But already from the very beginning, this promise of the Lord to David seemed doomed. Solomon, the first son of David to reign on the throne, despite his wisdom, is an utter disappointment. Unlike David, he abandoned the Lord. He served false gods, and he oppressed the people of Israel. And following his example, just as they followed David to serve the Lord, the people of Israel followed Solomon in abandoning the Lord and serving false gods. And so we see the importance of having a good leader, one who can lead us as our example to fear the Lord. For the truth is that we are weak people. We will always make idols out of things and follow them. We will always find a strong leader and follow them to the point of being led astray by others. And we can see that in our society today, how many people follow the debauchery of Hollywood, or how many people follow the confused gender teachings of liberal society. These things don't make any sense. They bring confusion and trouble and unhappiness, but people follow them anyway because their leaders tell them to. And so we need strong and godly leaders. We don't have many of those around still today, at least not in the politics of Western countries. But we have Jesus Christ. Christ has come on the throne of David, king, says verse 33, over the house of Jacob forever. And we believers everywhere, we are the New Testament house of Jacob. By adopting us, God has made us the spiritual descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so we also are subjects of Jesus Christ, the king on the throne of David. And as King, Jesus Christ is our godly example. He leads us in righteousness. He himself was righteous, and he calls us to follow him and do the same. And so we have a king on the throne of David who is our example in service to the Lord, in devotion to God's will, in loving others before ourselves. Just like David, but much better than David, for he did not sin, but he was always perfect. And better than David, because David died and left his people to his failure of a son. But Jesus Christ never dies, and so he is our king and our example and our leader forever. And so we see how we too are highly favored and blessed through the Son of Mary. We are blessed because as a true Son of Mary, Jesus is a human being like us. So he can take our human sins and pay for them, and so he can also understand our human existence, our loneliness, our sufferings, our struggles. He can sympathize with us. But since he is God as well as man, he can also, with his divine power, help us and save us from our sins and our troubles. And as adopted son of Joseph, Jesus is heir to the throne of David and the eternal king over God's kingdom forever. And he leads us in righteousness. And so we confess Jesus Christ, human son of Mary and yet also God. So he is truly God with us, God becoming one of us. He is the Son of the Most High who followed his Father's will and gave his life on the cross to save us. And the Son of David who reigns forever and will one day return again to take us to his new kingdom on the new heaven and the new earth, to reign with him forever. And so in him, all that is said of Mary is said of us too. We also have priceless, undeserved grace and favor from God. We also have the Lord with us always. And so in Christ, just like the angel said to Mary, you never have to be afraid. You are highly favored. God looks upon you with love and with delight. And he is with you always. Amen. Let's sing of this in response as we sing Mary's song in hymn 17, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.